a congregation of our Lord and Saviour, it used to be that occasionally someone would come up to me on the street who was lost and ask for directions. But now most people use Google Maps and GPS. It doesn't seem to happen very much these days. And sometimes you could answer a question if someone was lost and turn it around and turn it into an expression of the gospel. But imagine for a moment, someone comes up to you on the street and says to you, "How can I be saved?" Now that'd be a sweet thing to hear. Then you could give them directions and point them the way to go. How can I be saved? Now, interestingly enough, if that question was asked for different people on the street in our community, well, the answers would be different, depending on who you asked. For example, many people who've grown up with some kind of vague understanding of Christianity would say something like, "Well, if you're a good person, that's probably going to work. That'll probably get you in a good position with God." A Muslim, the follower of Islam, might point you to the five pillars and say, "This is what you need to do. Then you'll have a fair chance of maybe being all right." The Hindu would tell you, "Well, you've just got to keep working at it through the cycle of life, death, reincarnation, and eventually if you just keep at it and persevere with these works that you do, you're going to climb higher and higher on that ladder and you'll get there eventually." But biblically grounded Christians know that the answer to the question, "How can I be saved?" is not by what you do. It's not by good works. It's by faith in Christ alone. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." Christianity is the only religion whereby the works of the sons and daughters of Adam, that's his descendants, do not in any way count towards salvation. It's also the only true religion because it is distinct and different in this key point, and it is the only way to God. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, a free gift of God in its entirety." So if this is true, and it is, we don't get to God through any merit of our own, then why bother being godly? Why bother doing any good works? Why not just sit back, relax, give in to the sinful desires that come from the fallen nature, because you've got your ticket to heaven anyway? So why bother being godly? Why bother doing any good works? That's not a new question or set of questions. It's been asked by many people. The Apostle Paul asked that question in Romans chapter 6. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase?" The Roman Catholic Church asked that question and said, "If we start preaching and teaching that people are saved by faith alone, people will live careless and wicked lives." And so the Roman Catholic Church fought against the Protestant Reformation. Perhaps at times you've asked that question. Why bother sacrificing for a tithe with money that could be used for something else? Why bother serving in cadets and GEMS and session and ladies fellowship and missions committees, or practicing to be a musician in the church services? Why bother putting all that effort in when you're saved by grace alone? Why bother experiencing the embarrassment and the rejection that so often comes when we proclaim Christ, when we share our faith and give testimony to the Lord? Why bother doing good works? That's really the question in in slightly different words, it's asked by Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32, why then, in light of God's word of salvation by grace alone, must we still do good? And there are three parts to the answer, and those form the three sections of the sermon. Firstly, because we are saved for good works. Secondly, because we are assured by good works. And thirdly, because we testify through good works. And so let's look briefly at those three things. Before we begin, we're going to need to think about what it means to do good. And so we understand or need to understand that to be good or to do good works in the biblical sense of the term, they're works that originate from God and are done in his power. Read about that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so there's a very real sense in which the good works that we do are not actually our works at all. They're God's work working through us. They're the works that the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit, works in us and through us. They are the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work, our good works. And Jesus said, apart from him, you just cannot do those good works. It's impossible. He explains, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't. Good works are just simply not possible for someone who is not a Christian, who is not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who is not connected in a living relationship to Jesus Christ, the vine. So I'm going to try and anticipate some of the questions that might otherwise come at the question and answer time afterwards. What about those people who work in capacities in the world where they help the poor or the sick? They work on medical missions. What about people who volunteer in hospice work around the country? What about people who give their finances towards World Vision or Oxfam or other organizations? These works, whilst they are of benefit to others, are not inherently, essentially godly unless they are a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Apart from Christ, you say, they are not good in that sense in God's sight, for they are not done for his glory or in his strength. All of our works are imperfect before God, whose standard is perfection. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. But God changes that when we are connected to Christ. Because you see, we're connected, if you will, to a healthy fruit tree. And so through the strength of Christ, that vigor and that strength enables us to begin and to continue to do works which please God. Jesus says, every good tree bears good fruit. I mean, that's the purpose of a good fruit tree. If a fruit tree doesn't produce good fruit, then you cut it down because it's not of any value. And so our purpose, having been saved by Christ, is to do the same, to be fruitful in our lives. Titus 2:4, for example. Jesus Christ gave us for himself that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. That's part of the purpose of being saved, is that we might be desirous and zealous to do the works that God enables us to do. Good works are not the basis of our salvation, but they're part of the goal of our salvation. These good works that have been prepared by God beforehand so that we can walk in them. This is one of the ways that God enables us to demonstrate to one another and to ourselves and to the world our gratitude and thankfulness for what God has done, the reality of what God has done through these good works. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so we are saved for good works. That's part of the reason we are saved. And that's why we must still do good. But we are also personally assured by these good works. That's our second point. Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 17, "You will know them by their fruits. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit." That would have made a lot of sense to people in the first century. It makes a lot of sense to us. It's true. It's obvious. It's reality. And so Jesus connects that in John 15. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you do unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." And so again, we have this principle: to produce good fruit, that is good works, we must be connected to Christ, grafted into Christ. Therefore, if we are producing those good fruits, it must be true that we are connected to Christ. And there we have in that reality an assurance of salvation, a personal assurance. Good works help us in our walk with the Lord to be assured that we are indeed saved. Christian assurance is a certainty of mind. It's something that the Lord blesses us with as we walk and work in this life. Paul writes to Timothy, "I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." Notice there, it's a statement of personal assurance in Christ. This is Paul writing to Timothy and saying, "I am absolutely convinced that I'm saved." He can say that because he has been assured by the good works that God has enabled him to perform. If we and others observe that we are willingly and readily serving the Lord in ways that we would not otherwise do unless we did truly love him, then other people and we can detect in ourselves this work of the Holy Spirit. We see an increase over time of aspects of godliness in our lives: moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. Then this scripturally is evidence that we are indeed saved, that we have indeed been elected by God from before the foundations of the world. That's exactly what Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 verse 10. "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his election and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble." What he's saying there is if you continue active in these good works, in this fruitfulness, then this will more and more assure you that you are indeed grafted in to the living vine. Westminster Confession of Faith speaks of the fruits of assurance in this way: "It is the duty of everyone to be very diligent in making certain that God has called and chosen him or her. By such diligence, his heart may grow in peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, in love and thankfulness to God, and in strength and cheerfulness in the duties which obedience of God requires, the proper fruits of assurance." One of the ways in which we can gain greater assurance is to be desirous and zealous and willing to engage in good works, to look out for and notice the opportunities for service of others in the name of the Lord, to be seeking those out. This does not guarantee a certain level of assurance of the experience of that, but it is part of the way in which God expresses to us the wisdom of performing good works that result in greater assurance. It's part of the reason that we must still do good. So let's look now finally at testifying through good works. You don't have to know a whole heap about fruit trees to know the difference between an apple tree or a pear tree or an orange tree. The very simplest way is, well, we guessed it. Wait till it fruits, and then it's really obvious. People back in Jesus' day knew that. It was evident, and it's just the same today. Jesus says twice in Matthew 7, you will know them by their fruits. He's not talking there, of course, about fruit trees. He's talking about people. You will know them. You will understand their true nature by the fruits they produce. The way we all live, you see, inevitably displays over time the priorities that we have in life, doesn't it? We know that. It displays over time what's inside us. We can shield that from other people most of the time, not so well from our husband or wife or family. But often under pressure, when things don't go according to plan, then what's really on the inside suddenly comes out. And sometimes we get quite a shock, and sometimes other people get quite a shock. But that's the fruit that is coming out from inside. Jesus wisely said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. But you see, and here's the blessing of the gospel, the reverse is also true in the sense that when good things come out of the heart, when gracious words come out from the heart, when good deeds which express a love for the Lord come out of the heart, and this demonstrates what lives in the heart. The fruit shows the nature of the tree. And as we start to live this way, those around us will notice. And our neighbours, that's who live close to us, will see that we produce a different kind of fruit. People already probably notice that about you. When they see you in a situation where things don't go as you'd hoped, and you don't swear. And that surprises the world, because they do. Perhaps in a situation where it would be really easy to cheat on your taxes or do a business deal where you cheat someone else, you don't. People in the world go, that's different. It's a different kind of fruit. It's the kind of fruit that comes from a changed heart. Jesus described this kind of fruit, this beautiful, testifying, God-produced fruit, as being that a bit like those who are lights. He said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp or put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your good works be visible. And so what he's saying there, what Jesus is saying there, is not try to stick bits of false fruit on the outside. That's only going to work for a short time, as it would if you glued fruit onto a fruit tree. But he's saying, live in me, abide in me, and live your life before other people so they see you as you really are. And they will see your good works. And they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. He's not talking about some kind of false, fake, unauthentic kind of living where we pretend to be other than we are. He's talking about being who we are in Christ. Being people who have been changed because we understand the love of God. And we know that he has loved us before we love him. And then as we live our lives, people observe a different kind of fruit. That's already happening in this congregation. Been happening for a long time. It's happening in the lives of many Christians we know. This is one of the reasons why we still do good works. And so there are many reasons why, even though we've been saved by grace, we continue in good works. In the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, we do good because Christ by his Spirit is also renewing us to be like himself, so that in all our living we may show that we are thankful to God for all he has done for us, and so that he may be praised through us. And we do good so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and so that by our godly living our neighbours may be won over to Christ. And so if you're someone this afternoon who's been doing good, but you're weary and you're tired and you're thinking, why do I need to carry on? Here are some reasons that the Lord gives for us to continue and persevere in his strength. In the words of Psalm 90, verse 17, let the favor of our Lord God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen.